Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're continuing today's discussion about stress. Our guest is Dr. Daniel Crisafi. Dr. Crisafi is a naturopathic consultant in Montreal, Canada, and he is a frequent lecturer and author on subjects related to natural supplements and integrative health strategies. His latest book is called Syndrome S, and in just a few moments, we'll let you know how you can obtain a free copy of Dr. Crisafi's book. It's well worth it. And so in part one, we kind of laid out the groundwork, the theoretical groundwork of, you know, how stress develops and what are its physiological consequences. In part two, let's focus on some specific strategies. Okay, so let's say, one of your patients is a harried mother with kids facing, work deadlines and holiday challenges and the onslaught of cold weather in the fall season. So what are some of the things that might be helpful for reducing stress?
Well,
or coping
all,
with stress. We're not going to reduce stress.
Right, exactly, because that's the better term, because a lot of people can't reduce the stress if you've got, I have four children. But if you have a lot of children and you have to work, et cetera, you can't really flush the kids, and you can't necessarily get rid of your job. But there are really, really, really interesting ways to help the body cope with stress more effectively to compensate for all those factors you can't control. Number one, make sure you eat at least three times a day. One of the big problems, especially, is people not eating breakfast. If you've, you haven't eaten at night, that's why we say we break fast or we breakfast in the morning, and you don't eat for breakfast, your body thinks you don't have a choice. And so your stress glands, your adrenal glands, start being active more than they should to help to maintain blood sugar so you can function up to your first meal of the day, which might be lunch. So eating breakfast would be really, really important, and eating three meals a day would be really at least three meals a day.
And that's to stabilize your blood sugar to make sure that you don't go into a hypoglycemic response.
That's exactly it. Yeah. If you go into hypoglycemia, then it's your stress glands that have to kick in. They have to produce cortisol, the stress hormone, which would increase your blood. I mean, you're whipping your stress glands for nothing. So that's the first point. The second point is try to have protein at every meal. And it can be plant-based protein, it can be animal-based protein, but you have to try to have protein at every meal. If you have too much sugar and not enough protein, then your blood sugar goes up quickly and it drops quickly. And, you think about children who get these breakfast cereals that have an obscene amount of sugar in them, and the blood sugar goes up, and around 2 or 3 hours after breakfast, it starts dropping. They're in class. And as the blood sugar drops, your body doesn't want you to go into a hypoglycemic coma, so your stress glands kick in, or their stress glands kick in, and the stress hormones increase to ensure that their blood sugar will not drop. But then the message going to the brain, if cortisol increases, is there's a danger, fight or flee. And if they're going to fight or flee, of course, it's not the time to sit down in class and be nice and quiet. And for adults, it's the same thing. You can see this when they can start being fidgety and start having problems, etc. Or if the stress glands are tired, they don't react quickly enough. If there's too much sugar in the diet and not enough protein, and they start dropping, and an hour and a half, 2 hours after a meal, people start getting tired, problems with concentration, memory, etc., etc. So, eating three meals a day, eating breakfast, having protein at every meal, and if you have sugar, good sugars like fruits, or carbohydrates with a meal, try to have at least as much protein to make sure, again, that your blood sugar remains stable. The third point from a dietary point of view is the food, we're talking about a real food, that affects the body the most from a stress point of view is sugar. So sugar, whether it's honey, molasses, maple syrup, or cane sugar, which are far better than white sugar by any stretch of the imagination, but even fruit juice, can affect your stress glands, can affect your glycemia, your blood sugar levels, and that would whip your stress glands considerably. So for a dietary point of view, those are factors to look at that are very important. Another factor to look at that's really, really important is to make sure you exercise enough, but not too much and not the wrong kind of exercise. We are physiologically made up to move. And until about 100 years ago, we were very, very, very active, and we're not anymore. So we have to move. We have to be active physically. Resistance exercises, walking, yoga, etc. Ideally, and I hope your listeners not going to disapprove of this, but even if they do, it's still right. And ideally, not running intensely. Because running is actually the worst form of exercise.
I think that's a really interesting point that you make, because sometimes when I deal with patients who, first of all, I confess I love running, but I think you have to be used to it. And if you suffer from stress, anxiety, perhaps panic attacks, running almost replicates the fight or flight. It almost revs the circuitry of fight or flight, and that may create a vicious cycle of stress.
Absolutely, and you're right. When somebody's really fit and they're used to it, and they don't have stress problems, then it's fine. But the point to make is running is basically the only form of exercise where we talk about a high. We talk about runner's high or jogger's high. And the body produces endorphins, natural narcotics, in very large amounts when you run because it thinks it's in danger. You don't hear about Pilates high or yoga high or resistance exercise, weight training high, just about runner's high because the body thinks it's in danger. Now, if you don't have other factors that are stressing you out and your stress glands are in shape, yes, running can be very good. But otherwise, you have to be really, really careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
So running, getting enough rest, for sure. And doing exercises that help to work the right side of the brain, the artistic, intuitive types of exercise. I often mention that during the Second World War, Winston Churchill, who was Prime Minister of Great Britain, you usually imagine him with a cigar and a glass of whiskey or whatever, but used to paint an hour every day.
Wow.
Even when the Germans were bombing London, when he was initially at 10 Downing Street, would actually paint an hour every day. Right brain activity does help to relax, to calm. Listening to the sound of silence is something we don't do in North America at all. People get up in the morning, they turn the radio on, that shows how old I am, but their iPod, their iPad, whatever, and until they go to bed, there's always sound, there's always stimulation of the senses, whether it's sound or things you look at, intense light, etc. And there comes a point where we do have to listen to the sound of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that can help a lot as well.
So a nature sojourns would be part of that, getting out into the green, walking a forest path, or looking at or walking on the beach. These are some things that impart relaxation.
Absolutely, and doing that in an environment that is much more peaceful. You're right, like a green environment, like by the sea, Central Park in New York, or whatever. As long as you're careful in Central Park, but
it's better. But, it's better now. Newsflash: we're not in the 1970s anymore.
No, I know. Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. But the point is, yes, you do need those environments that help to calm, to relax, etc. And then there are certain supplements that can be very useful for stress adaptation. For example, a chiolic aged garlic extract. We talk a lot about chiolic aged garlic extract for cardiovascular disease, for liver function, etc. But research at the Pasteur Institute in France, we're not talking about anywhere, but one of the major scientific institutes in the world, Pasteur Institute, showed that people who are taking aged garlic extract for immune function actually had significant improvement in anxiety and stress-related symptoms.
That seems like that's something that I did not really attribute to garlic, because we think of it as heart healthy, we think of it as immune supportive, we think circulatory enhancer, antioxidant, all these properties, but that it has an impact on stress. That's interesting.
Well, Dr. Filion at the Pasteur Institute and other researchers afterwards showed that it does help to improve serotonin levels, serotonin being the neurotransmitter that helps sleep relax, reduces anxiety, etc., but also has anxiolytic or anxiety-reducing effects as well. Not as much as a drug, of course, but with no positive side effects, no negative side effects at long-term use. So chiolic aged garlic extract can be useful. Taking magnesium supplementation and the B vitamins can be very useful as well in helping to adapt to stress.
Well, specifically, which of the B vitamins seem to be most beneficial for stress?
the most effective by far is vitamin B5 or pantothenic acid. Mm-hmm. Vitamin B5 is required for the production of stress hormones. And research has shown
it supports the adrenals.
Exactly, the adrenals. And research does show that it helps to reduce certain stress-related symptoms like the burning feet syndrome and others associated with stress. Vitamin B3 is really, really important because it has anti-anxiety effects. And niacinamide has been shown in Italian research and has been used by Italian physicians to help patients who are addicted to benzodiazepine or Ativan to withdraw from the drug. So that's kind of interesting, too. And all the B vitamins do work as a team in synergy, but B3 and B5 are the best documented when it comes to stress or stress adaptation. Vitamin C is very important as well. The biggest reserves, the biggest pool of vitamin C in the body in humans is the adrenal glands.
Are you a fan of the adaptogens, certain herbs that support adrenal function?
Yes, and there's a lot of herbs that do that. We talked about aged garlic extract, but there's also a variety of herbs, ashwagandha, for example, Siberian ginseng, or Elephericoccus, which have important effects as adaptogens. So adaptogens are herbs that help the body to adapt, the term adaptogen, to different situations. And there are adaptogens that help the body adapt to stress. Again, Brazilian ginseng, Suma, Siberian ginseng, Elephericoccus, ashwagandha, and many, many other herbs are adaptogens.
Rhodiola among them?
Rhodiola definitely is an adaptogen as well. Mm-hmm. And so they help the body adapt to stress more effectively. They help the adrenal glands react less strongly to a stress. So if your stress glands react less strongly to a stress, then they're less damaged by that stress. Aged garlic extract was an example I mentioned earlier, chiolic, mm-hmm. where they showed that when people are taking aged garlic extract, they actually had less adrenal hypertrophy. In other words, the adrenal glands were not getting as big, they weren't reacting as strongly to a stress as they did with the same stress if they didn't get the aged garlic extract. But yes, definitely rhodiola, Siberian ginseng, ashwagandha, and others are very, very good adaptogens as well.
Is it particular to aged garlic extract? Because I know that's a little different than just consuming a lot of dietary garlic. Dietary garlic has benefits, but there's something, some chemicals that gets tweaked during the aging process that might account for the anti-stress effects of chiolic.
Well, I often say jokingly that if you take regular garlic in large amounts, you'll never get the cold or flu because nobody will get close enough to you to get the cold or flu. With aged garlic extract, it's garlic, organic garlic from California that's been aged for a period of 20 months. And that aging changes its chemical structure. You don't have the garlic after odor. But what's really interesting is you get a lot of new chemicals that are produced naturally during the aging process that have been shown to have a variety of effects. For example, aged garlic extract has a cysteine, which is a precursor of glutathione, a very important enzyme in the liver, that is 95 to 98% absorbable, that is produced during the aging process.
That's the allylcysteine molecule.
Allylcysteine,
right?
Exactly. And you've got ajouin, which is produced in aged garlic extract, which doesn't exist in regular garlic, and you've got a variety of other chemicals. We actually don't know exactly which one of the active ingredients in the aged garlic extract has anxiety-reducing and stress-reducing activity. Because the problem with a natural substance, which is also its quality, is that it can have hundreds of naturally occurring chemicals that have effects. And it's difficult sometimes to pinpoint which one does the job. The advantage with them, though, is contrary to, for example, antibiotics, or regular antibiotics, bacteria, viruses, fungus can't develop resistant strains because there's so many active ingredients that would have to develop resistant strains too. And so, you know, as an example from an antibiotic point of view, garlic has always been a very good antibiotic. It still is, even though a lot of our antibiotics that we introduced in the 1940s and 50s and 60s are less and less effective today because they only have one chemical that's active. So it's easy for the bacteria to determine which chemical it is. There's only one. And to develop or to adapt to it.
So this is more of a broad spectrum nutraceutical antimicrobial, not doesn't kill all the good guys like conventional antibiotics do.
Well, yes, and that's the other point with agar-agaric extract and with echinacea and other immune-enhancing compounds. They don't kill bacteria. They actually just increase the immune system strength to deal with the bad bacteria, but the immune system doesn't kill the good bacteria.
What about magnesium? What type of magnesium do you favor these days for maximal absorption? That's an important supplement. It's sometimes hard to, you know, patients are so deficient in magnesium, it's hard to restore optimal levels. Sometimes I give my patients magnesium injections because they're so deficient.
Well, actually, when they're very, very deficient, magnesium injections are probably initially the best deal. But long-term, from a supplemental point of view, magnesium bisglycinate, magnesium citrate, magnesium aspartate are good forms of magnesium. They're relatively well-absorbed depending on the individual, but quite well-absorbed depending on the individual. But the injection initially is definitely a good way of kind of short-circuiting the fact that you can only take a certain amount of magnesium. If you take more than that, you can actually get diarrhea.
Sure. Yeah, it's sort of limited by the tolerance. Yeah.
Exactly. So some people may actually be able to take a lot, but initially the injections might be very useful, and then using it orally afterwards. But again, the magnesium citrate, bisglycinate, and magnesium malate as well, if there's problems with fibromyalgia where the malic acid can be an interesting transport system into the cells as well.
What about other common relaxants are things like theanine, valerian, GABA, hops? Are you in favor of using those as well?
Many of them can be very, very effective. Now, GABA is very, very different. It's an amino acid. It's not a herb, so it doesn't have a pharmacological effect. It does have a nutritional effect, even though there is GABA-based drug, or there are GABA-based drugs. One of the plants that's really interesting, two of them actually, is passion flower and vitex.
Vitex, which is
women.
Chasteberry.
Vitex, pardon me?
Chasteberry, right? Vitex,
yes.
Is chasteberry.
Yeah. Yes, chasteberry. So vitex, or vitex annuus castus, is a herb that contains vitexin. And vitexin has been shown to reduce the production of a protein that overstimulates the adrenal glands. I think it's PRP1.
Interesting.
But vitexin is also present in passion flower.
Oh.
Now, what's really interesting with passion flower is some research, very serious research, has shown that passion flower, passiflora in Latin, is as effective as benzodiazepine and as effective as Cerax, important anxiolytic drugs or anxiety-reducing drugs, but with none of their side effects. They take longer to work. It may take 7 days instead of 3, but then you don't get the side effect. It helps to relax. It helps to sleep. It helps to reduce that overreactivity of the central nervous system where you try to sleep, but you're thinking about 10,000 things and so on.
And then earlier in part one, we mentioned hormonal imbalance as being particularly a problem in women. For women, sometimes at or near the time of menopause, I'll give a little either topical progesterone, which is available over the counter here in the States. I don't know about Canada, but here we can buy it in health food stores. Or sometimes, since I'm an MD, I can write them a prescription for a little bit of oral progesterone, which has benzo-like effects. It has relaxing effects, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. Actually, the advantage with progesterone, there's several advantages of progesterone. Number one, especially the topical one, is that it doesn't have any impact on liver function, number one. Number two, natural progesterone doesn't have all the side effects of certain of the synthetic progesterones. And even synthetic progesterone that has nowhere near the side effects of taking estrogen replacement. Number two, we know that estrogen actually stops the loss of bones, but you basically, if I can use this simply, you actually keep your old bones, which become more and more brittle, actually, whereas progesterone does encourage the production of new bones, even if you get older and older and older. And progesterone, like I said earlier, is the feel-good hormone during pregnancy. It's the feel-good hormone globally in women. And as the body increases its production of cortisol, the stress hormone, it uses the same material to produce cortisol as it does to produce progesterone. So if he thinks it's in danger, it's going to prioritize the stress hormone, cortisol. It's going to produce less progesterone. So definitely progesterone is very, very interesting in those situations. And, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, it's extremely, extremely safe.
Good stuff. Any additional points that you, crucial things you want to add to our armamentarium of strategies for stress? Of course, you'll find many of these in your book, which is Syndrome S, correct?
Absolutely, which people can get free of charge, or your listeners can get free of charge.
Okay, so let's. What's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? Let's give out that number for people to get a free copy of your new book.
It would be 1-800-421-2998. And if it's out of office hours, they can leave their name, phone number, and their address, and it will be shipped to them.
Okay, so 800-421-2998. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. So the idea is that stress can't completely be eliminated. Life is a balance of stressors. We have to try to work in eliminating the stressors we can. I hate to say this because it sounds like I'm laughing at it, but I'm not. But we have to not get stressed by the fact that there are stressors we can't eliminate completely. And we have to try to work in a non-stress way to get rid of them. The advantage is that diet and lifestyle do help us control the other stressors and reduce their damage. So it's very, very important when there is stress, or when we want to prevent the effect of stress, to work on our diet, to work on our lifestyle, so we can at least minimize those stressors while we're working to eliminate the other stressors in life that may be a process.
Good stuff, and you'll find more details in the book, Syndrome S, which can be yours by calling 800-421-2998. That's a generous offer from Dr. Crisafi to provide you with a free copy. And for information about Kyolic, aged garlic extract, I notice here their website is www.kyolic.com. And which of the products do you favor? Because they got a very, very large product lineup. They've got heart formulas. They got immune formulas. Is there one specifically that targets stress, or does it matter?
They do have a stress formula, but I prefer your standard Kyolic aged garlic extract, 600 or 1,000 milligrams, because it's the substance on which all the research has been done. The stress formula can be very interesting for many people. They've got a cardiovascular formula. They've got a formula for immune support, etc. But most of the research was done in aged garlic extract, and I really, really like the 600 milligram or 1,000 milligram straight aged garlic extract by Kyolic.
All right. So get the straight stuff from Kyolic. I want to thank you, Dr. Crisafi, for a very illuminating discussion. And the book, once again, Syndrome S, check it out. And there's a free offer, 421-2998 is the number for a free copy. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.